All right. Welcome to the Apex Vaulting Podcast. This is episode 122. I have two guests here. If you've ever listened to episode zero, they were on it before. Lily Brown, Calvin Gould. They've also been on solo podcast episodes. And the reason I bring them in now, they are adult pole vaulters, what we call adult pole vaulters at Apex Vaulting. How old are you, Lily?
I'm 24.
24. How old are you, Calvin?
26.
26. So on today's episode, what we want to discuss is why would someone pole vault as an adult? What are the reasons for it? What are they looking for from the experience? And I guess, you know, before I even continue any further, I'm going to let them kind of give a little bit of background on where they are in life, what's going on. We just had a meet this past weekend. I thought they both did pretty well. Lily, your lifetime best is 12. You jumped 11. Calvin, your lifetime best is 15.1. You jumped 14.7. We attempted 15.3.
Sure did.
Yeah. So, I mean, ladies first. Lily, why don't you give a little background on yourself, like what's going on in life, and how does pole vault fit into that?
Yeah, so I'm a law student currently. I'm in my second year of law school, and I jumped in college. I was recruited to pole vault at Manhattan College. I ended up jumping 12, and this is actually my 10th year at Apex Vaulting right now. And so clearly I love it here. But when I left undergrad, I didn't even really think twice about continuing to pole vault after college, because it's, first of all, like my preferred way of moving. Like, there's, you know, pole vault is fun. Like, I enjoy the I enjoy the training. I enjoy the actual movement itself, and just continuing to work on something.
Listen,
and like,
there's a lot of adults out there that prefer not to move at all.
I'm pro movement. Because I know myself. And it's also about community for me. Like, Calvin and I have also been friends for like about a decade now. And we have a couple other, you know, adult vaulters here. And so it's a really, you know, a great sense of community for me outside of my law school and outside of work, where I get, you know, stress relief. I can train and work hard. And then I can also get, you know, support from Bronco, Calvin, and our other friends here. So that's really what my purpose is at this point.
Just a couple questions. Now, you're in law school. Level difficulty?
It's certainly the hardest I've ever worked thus far. Academically, it's definitely the hardest I've ever pushed myself, the busiest I've been. I mean, I commute.
Was it harder than junior, senior year of high school?
I was going to ask, yeah.
No. No. Physically, the hardest I've ever pushed myself is definitely in pole vault. But I think mentally, law school has presented the most challenges for me.
So, I mean, being that you do have all this extra, you know, mental stress, all this academic stuff. I mean, how does pole vault, like, does pole vault take away from that? Like, what?
I mean, I come here to decompress. That's exactly why I do it. And I also do it to have a sense of purpose and something I enjoy doing that isn't just for the money or the career or the status. Like, I think this is purely something that is for me, and it's an intrinsic pursuit that I have, and it's mine. And that is why I enjoy doing it. Because I think if you're only in your world, you know, your career and making money, if that's all you're working towards, I personally need something that is just for me, that is not about the output necessarily.
Yeah, I think those are all, you know, really great points. I think definitely most people in their life don't realize that you really do need something that's for you. And it's not necessarily like everybody has a job, everybody has a career. Those are things you have to do. And it is amazing to me how even the people who are not pro movement, they somehow always get their ass to work.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? You're always doing whatever you need for work, but it's like, what are you doing for you?
Right.
You know, and obviously, okay, your job, that's how you make money. That's how you keep a roof over your head. That's how, you know, you put food on the table. But again, it's like, what are you doing for you? And what are you going to do to maybe even help you do a better job at work and even a better job for your loved ones that you care about? And, you know, before we go on, continue on that tangent, Calvin, give everybody who's watching a little bit of background on where you're at in life, what's going on in your world, and how pole vault, you know, fits into that.
Yeah. So I've been jumping with you since high school, through high school and through college. Mm-hmm. And now I'm jumping even post-collegiately. I just recently bought a house.
How easy is buying a house?
So the buying part, the spending the money, really easy. that happens instantly. Okay. But the looking for the house, the inspections, and then particularly the one that I decided to buy, the repairs and everything, awful. Actually awful. So, and pole vault has definitely been kind of like a safe haven for me in that things about the house stress me out pretty much almost constantly. because it's a never-ending list. There's a never-ending list of things I have to do.
Right.
But then I can come here, I can kind of shift my focus to something else, I can relax.
Well, I just to add to that, because now, you know, it's bringing memories up to me during that time period when you were like searching for the house, buying it, because there was even like, you know, because anybody who's bought a house, you're always sometimes on the fence, like, do we really pull the trigger? Do we not pull the trigger? You know, all that kind of stuff. And what's funny, like you said, the never ending list. Well, one, pole vault, there's a never ending list of things that you need to improve on, work on with your job. And I think as a coach, one of the things that I think people fail to recognize, you are not just a pole vault coach, right? Like if all you're doing is saying upper grip, back a half, dude, that's the minimum requirement. Like you have to be able to make pole vault adjustments. You have to be able to explain the technique, whatever technique you coach. But there's more to it than that, right? Like we're supposed to be using pole vault as a vehicle to like learn about life and how to persevere, work hard. And I mean, heck, there were a lot of nights, you know, we would finish the jump session. And as you're lifting, we'd start to have a conversation about this, of like how to wrestle with these decisions and pressures. I think that's an important part that a pole vault coach should play. I mean, like if you think about stuff like jujitsu or I can't even think of other great examples, but like CrossFit, places like that, those coaches are like mini mentors in life,
right?
You know, and if you can't bring that to the table as a coach, and kind of like one of the bigger things I do want to discuss is like, this is why more adults don't continue pole vaulting, because they're looking for that. If all you can offer is upper grip, back a half, that is going to get really old really fast.
Right.
But I cut you off. No, so, okay. Buying the house.
That did kind of remind me of one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
There are definitely a lot of skills I learned in pole vault that I've applied to the house stuff.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's a never ending list of things you can fix with your jump, but you have to kind of tackle them one at a time, or not necessarily one at a time. You can't look at everything that's wrong all at once. You have to pick something, you have to fix it.
Right.
Don't get overwhelmed by the number of things you have to do. That's something I definitely struggle with the house currently. I get overwhelmed by the number of things I have to do with the house. But it's a skill that I've learned in pole vault that I can apply to the house, to work when I have a lot of tasks for work.
Right.
And mm-hmm. The same
calm and just
school.
It really puts everything into perspective. Like if you can, you know, take 2 hours to do whatever it is you do on the weekend, you could take 2 hours to get in a jump session and like do something that you really enjoy that's going to help you wake up the next morning and feel good about yourself and feel like you poured into something you care about. And then it's much easier to tackle those things that you have to do throughout the day.
Well, and I think there's so many parallels, right? Like you're describing, okay, you have like, let's say, whatever. Let's say there's like 100 tasks to do for the house to fix it. Or you're in law school and you have like the big exams coming up and whatever, you got to read so many cases and stuff. Well, you have a million things wrong with your jump. And you could just give up and not work on it.
Say, I'm never going to fix all
this. Yeah, you know what? Like, who cares about my takeoff? I'm just going to keep running into it. Cool. That's never going to get fixed. You're going to keep having this problem and you're not going to be able to move forward. So you at least need to tackle one thing at a time to keep moving it forward, whether you like to or not. Like sometimes there's a drill or a workout that you don't like doing. You don't want to do it. Well, you're not going to make progress unless you do it. So you got to just tackle it one step at a time, one step at a time. And I think that those are skills that are definitely transferable from the pole vault into real life. And I think going back to the idea of like what a pole vault coach needs to do, I think pole vault coaches need to lean in on the difficulty, on the fears in the vault, and explain how that is just like the rest of someone's life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I was going to law school, something one of our friends at the club said to me, Billy, I told him, I was like, oh, like I'm a little nervous. And he's like, well, you've jumped at Apex. You pretty much like you can do anything now because there's nothing, you know, that we really, at least Calvin and I really, you know, squeezed everything out that we could have out of our training at certain points. And like, that's probably the hardest that I will ever, at least right now, it's the hardest I've ever worked towards something and the most I've ever poured into something. And I think that gives me a lot of perspective and all the other things that I do. Especially with law school.
Actually, that reminds me another thing the pole vault kind of taught me was that even when you think you've squeezed everything out, like you think you've gone as far as you can, there's always like a little bit further you can go. Specifically, and I can't not take this opportunity to plug my bench PR. The first time I benched like 300, I was sure like that's it. Dude, there's no way I'm benching.
Right.
That's a lot of weight. And then I benched 315. 335, and now it's at 350.
Right.
But that ability to believe in I wouldn't say believe in myself, but keep pushing forward regardless of whether or not I think I can do it.
Yeah. Because
that's what I mean. I wasn't going to stop. I'm not going to stop benching now that I benched 300, you know?
Right.
And I just continued doing what I was doing, continued moving forward, and I continued getting better.
Yeah. Well, and it is funny. I like the way that you put that, like, regardless of the belief.
Mm-hmm.
This, I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people don't realize, like in life, there's going to be so many scenarios where you don't. I mean, look, law school is very difficult. Law school is very difficult. I'm very confident Lily's going to kill it. That being said, there are no guarantees you make it through, right? Like you enter into an endeavor like law school or medical school, you know, there's no guarantee that you will succeed. You might not make it. I mean, how many times do you hear about like people go to law school and then they can't pass the bar exam,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's no guarantee, but you have to go into it and give it that full force effort regardless of the outcome,
right?
You know, just like you go to a track meet, there's no guarantee you're going to clear the bar.
Right.
Any bar, forget about a PR, like you might know height today. There's no guarantees. Which, you know, again, to connect it to adults pole vaulting, I think sometimes what is kind of like holding certain people back from pole vaulting is like, well, am I going to be able to jump as high as I used to or whatever? Yeah, look, there are no guarantees, but there are no guarantees about anything. And the only shot you have of success, if you just keep your head down and you keep trying.
Yeah.
And that mentality is huge. You know, and there have been different eras of Apex, certainly. Definitely. But today, even one of the big things we talk about is that kind of mentality. You know, it was funny. One of the high school boys, you know, I talk about David Goggins a lot, you know, and I use him as an example for anybody who's listening. If you don't know who David Goggins is, just Google and just read anything or watch anything that comes up. You'll find out real quick. But this is a guy who talks about working hard, you know, suffering, sacrifice. And one of the high school boys who, let's just say, not the most academic, okay? He got so pumped about it, he is now borrowing one of my David Goggins books and reading. He's halfway through. I remember one of the other girls was like, the fact that he's just reading, that's amazing. You know? But,
yeah,
you know, it's like, this is the thing. It's like that mentality is pushed here because most people are not going to be a professional pole vaulter. I hate to, anybody who's listening to this, I hate to burst your bubble. Most people are not going to be a professional pole vaulter. And most people who even become a professional pole vaulter only get paid a few years. If you think that's going to financially take care of all your issues there, not a chance. And so what you should be getting from the vault are, like you're saying, all these skills that you learn in the law to apply it to the rest of your life, and you can be successful in every other endeavor. We're not quite done though with Calvin, right? So you said you bought a house. What else is going on in your life?
I have two dogs. I recently got a puppy, which I don't know if you know, if you get a puppy young enough, we got it at 8 weeks old. They can't hold their pee through the whole night. So you're getting up, you know, 3-4 hour intervals, like having a kid. The night before the meet.
This is just telling me on like my wife right now would be like, Calvin, please stop talking. You're not selling Bronco on a dog.
Yeah, I want to get a dog.
But so the night before the meet, actually, I was getting up in, I think she got up 2 or 3 times. I don't know. But I didn't get good sleep the night before.
Right.
But yeah, still, you know.
Well, and you still go to the meet. You do the best that you can, you know. And you're also engaged.
I'm engaged, yes.
So planning a wedding
easy. Is also, you know, spending the money, very easy. Still. But yeah, no, nothing easy about it. The guest list alone is a pain.
Right.
Deciding who to keep, who to say right. No thanks sure. to. Yeah, it's a lot.
And you're a full-time engineer.
Yes. And actually that was one thing I wanted to comment on before, is that I'm a structural engineer. I'm a licensed professional engineer as well. But the first time I took the exam, I failed. I did not pass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first time. But dealing with failure is kind of something that I've definitely learned pole vaulting. I failed many times pole vaulting.
Right.
Times when I thought I absolutely deserved to win, when I absolutely deserved to win, and then failed anyway.
Right.
So when I failed that exam, I kind of just shrugged it off. And even Gina was like surprised, because she was worried when I told her I failed. She thought I was going to be like upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm just going to. I took like a 2-month break, studied again, and then I passed it the next time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But another skill that, you know, I easily could have failed and freaked out and then.
100%. I mean, how many people, you know, I was telling one of the high school groups, I know plenty of people, they've gone to college, finished. Have a certain particular major, and because they don't get a job within like 2-3 months of searching, they give up on their dream job. That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only amount of lumps you could take. Like, you know, and like you said, it's like, okay, you failed the test. You're going to take it again.
Yeah.
And you like getting upset about it is not going to help. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, I'm sure. Okay. Sucks. We failed. We got to regroup. What are we going to do next time?
I know what it means to work on something, because I know that the second time I take the test is going to be better than the first. There's no doubt. There's no way I'm going to do worse the second time.
Right.
Because one, I've taken the test.
Before. Right.
I've learned more just by taking it.
Right.
So learning how to build off of your experience and learning how to, you know, or even systematically approach something, how to like come up with a plan of how you're going to achieve a goal. That's something that came from pole vault.
Right.
Extremely useful.
Yeah.
You usually want a plan.
Design
a structure or a bridge or anything.
Yeah.
Need a plan.
I think about a lot of times too, you say to some of the high school kids, let's say you don't jump the bar. And like you say, you really think you deserve it. I've worked hard enough. But something that you have to wrap your head around is like, if you didn't accomplish the goal that you wanted, then you just didn't work hard enough.
Right.
In some realm, maybe you worked on technique. Maybe you worked out a lot. Maybe you didn't sleep well, right? Like you didn't work hard somewhere. You didn't sleep, nutrition, you know, whatever. And for an exam, it's like, okay, I obviously didn't understand this section. I got to go over the section more. However, you know, you have to study. And I think those are huge life skills, because you can't just give up when you fail. You have to keep going. And again, I brought up David Goggins. It's like, he always brings up, I mean, this guy's run 100-mile races. He broke the world record in pull-ups, was a Navy SEAL. On all of those things, he failed in the first attempts and sometimes the second and the third, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Before he was successful, but he didn't let a failure stop him. He kept going.
Well, it goes back to, I feel like we talk all the time here about showing up for yourself and for the workout or whatever it is you need to do, regardless of how you feel. Like, I think we really talk about having a stoic disposition towards the things that you need to do in your life, and especially towards your workouts. I think, you know, every time I come here, I'm exhausted and then I start jumping and I get a second wind. And I'm like, you know what? If I had given in to how I felt at, you know, you know, 4:30 p.m. after a full day of classes, yeah, I would have gone home and I wouldn't have done what I enjoy. But then every time I come here, I'm glad I did. And that applies everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's one of those things. I remember when, you know, Calvin Hartman was in college. When I talk about feelings, right? I remember he was going through a really tough training period, like a lot of lifting, you know, and we're doing a jump session. He's doing five lefts. And he comes over and he's like, listen, my legs just always feel like heavy. I feel sore, tired. Like, you think we're like training too hard? And I was like, well, I go, your mid is 2 feet further back. You're gripping higher. You're on a bigger pole. You're wrapping higher bungees. Who cares about how you feel? Right. Like it sometimes it might suck.
Yeah.
It might suck. And, I was, you know, talking to my wife the one day, cause like we were talking about this topic about feelings and how like your feelings really, you have to push them to the side sometimes. Like I've been running a little bit and there was like one Tuesday I was like, you know, supposed to run. Right. I forget. I might've been running 7 or 8 miles at that point. And I felt like shit. I woke up Tuesday morning. I felt like death. I exhausted. There was even like a part of me. I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't need to run. Like, I'm not like preparing for something. Like, why am I doing these runs? I don't need to run.
Right.
I'm a pole vault coach. Why am I running these miles? And then I was like, you know what? Somehow I got myself out the door. I literally PR'd on that run. That was the fastest I had run that month. And well, if I'd based it off of my feelings, I wouldn't even gone out for the run. That PR doesn't even happen. Right. So it's like, I at least have to give myself a shot. I have to put my foot out the door and go.
You can do everything right. And it might not happen. The PR might not.
Right. Happen. You might feel great.
Yes.
Yep.
You could do everything perfectly, whatever your routine is, get 8 hours of sleep and it might not happen.
Yeah. So that's why it's like, you have to kind of throw your feelings out the window. You at least have to attempt the things that you're supposed to attempt, do the things that you're supposed to do, regardless of how you feel. I mean, look, whether it's law school for you, your job, getting ready for the wedding, house stuff, it's like, it doesn't matter if you feel like it. Things have to get done and you have to do them, you know? And I think a lot of times, like, especially like still the largest demographic at the club is high school. And a lot of these high school kids, it's like, I push these kind of messages because like, all right, who really wants to do their paper? You know, you have a 5-page paper due. You really want to do that? Who wants to do their math homework?
Yeah, try 50.
Yeah.
I turned into 50 pages.
Well, yeah. All right. They're not in law school yet. But, you know, some of these kids, they don't get it. It's like, it doesn't matter how you feel. Sometimes you just have to do what you have to do.
Right.
You know, and the thing is too, once you accomplish something on your task list, you feel way better.
Yeah.
Way better. If you ignored it, you're going to feel way worse.
Inaction is the source of anxiety. That is, the more that you let it fester, the more that you sit in it, the worse that it gets. You have to do. That is the only way. I also think, you know, what you said about putting your feelings aside, I think though, prior to that, like what we facilitate at Apex is a community where we can like express those feelings to one another and talk about them. Like, I think that we have formed great relationships. I mean, we're like family. Like, I would say the three of us are hands down like family. I would do anything for these two, anything. And so I couldn't.
I need to borrow some money.
Nothing. House. Nothing. I'll watch the dog.
I need like $500.
But no, we would really do anything for each other. And that's the community that we foster here. And so that's why we're able to acknowledge those feelings, acknowledge that maybe they suck, and then keep showing up every day. That's the, you know.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I think sometimes when people hear me talk about certain topics, it could be even pole vault technique. And people are like, wait, he sounds like he's being hypocritical or like he just said something the opposite way. And I'm reading Dichotomy of Leadership now from Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. For those of you that don't know, they're Navy SEALs. They run plenty of companies and they help mentor businesses. I read their first book, Extreme Ownership, right? And so a lot of people read Extreme Ownership and then they wrote Dichotomy of Leadership because they said, people took it the wrong way. They're like, oh, extreme ownership. Like, I'm going to be this badass and yell at everybody and tell them what to do. I'm the freaking owner. I'm the leader. And then they talk about the dichotomy of leadership. And what's a dichotomy? It's like two opposing kind of balancing ideas. And yes, we don't allow our feelings to dictate what we do. But at the same time, at Apex, we always, yeah, I think we've always worked hard to foster that thing of like, no, like we do care. We want to know how you feel, want to know what you're going through, and then we're going to try to help you make the best decision. Because sometimes when you are all caught up in emotion and feeling, you know, you do need to talk to somebody about it, but you kind of need to talk to somebody about it so that you don't make a bad choice. Like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to do my term paper. Or, you know what? I'm pissed at my head coach at my high school, so I'm going to flip out on them or skip a practice. Like, that's not going to be helpful. That's not going to solve your problem, you know? Whether you're, you know, having to deal with something with the house, like, you know, we're recalling some of these memories where you'd finish a workout and then we're kind of chatting about like, okay, like, what do I do with this problem with the house? What do I do with this? How do I solve this problem? How do I deal with this contractor? Or you're with law school, you know, talking about some of the struggles there, or even internships and different scenarios there. Well, yeah, we do care. And then it's like, you want that mentorship and guidance so that you don't make a bad choice. You know, like I'm not going to tell Calvin, like, you know what, screw your fiance, let her figure that shit out. Like, you do you, bro. Like, I'm not, you know, that's where that dichotomy comes in, where it's like, yeah, we do care what people are going through. We do care what they're dealing with. But at the same time, we're trying to like, kind of be like, okay, well, what feelings are important and not important?
Right.
And what do you need to do despite mm-hmm. how you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. That prioritizing is huge in so many different, you know, settings too, because for all like in law school, you go through something called OCI. It's called on-campus interviews. I basically did 20 interviews in like 3 weeks. It was brutal. But in all of my interviews, I brought up pole vaulting, and usually the interviewers would ask me about it because they had never seen, you know, a pole vaulter who's trying to become a lawyer, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, something I would always say is I do really well under pressure and I can maintain my disposition under pressure. I couldn't have said that for myself in high school when I was a pole vaulter. I was highly emotional. I would get very upset. I would be extremely hard on myself afterwards. And it would make it that much harder for me to show up the next day and move on and do the things that I needed to do.
Do you remember what your tell was?
I do.
I don't remember it.
I always knew when Lily was nervous in high school, her tell, and everybody had a tell. If you don't know what a tell is, like, think about poker, right? If somebody's bluffing, sometimes they have a tell, right? I always knew Lily was nervous at a competition. We'd be in warmups and she would be chatting up a storm with everybody and complimenting.
Cheering
him on. Oh my gosh, your jump looks great. You're doing awesome. But I'm like, oh man, she is shitting her pants right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's
like, let me take care of everybody but myself. I did change that in college though. I got a lot better at maintaining my disposition because I realized that it's a lot easier to focus on what you need to do and think about how you need to jump and how to execute when you're not caught up in how you feel. And so I think when it comes to, you know, becoming a lawyer and going into the workforce, I really marketed that about myself. Like, I have learned how to control myself in stressful environments. I know how to set my own boundaries. I know how to communicate with people. Hey, I'm struggling right now. I can get you this done on time. I'm going to need more time for this. Like, these are all things
that
I was able to improve over time through being an athlete here.
Right. Yeah. And you're definitely able to communicate better with people where you're not just saying yes to everything and then you come up empty handed.
Right.
And, you know, lose a job.
Gauging expectations is huge. And with everyone, with family members, with friends, with employers, it's all, you know, it's all about gauging expectations. And for yourself.
Yeah.
I would even say not just communicating, but listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there are a lot of times we talk about going on autopilot.
Yes.
Like where when I'm jumping, I'll go on autopilot and I'll just kind of do what I naturally do. And I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing. And I definitely needed to work on focusing on what I was doing and actually thinking critically. What am I trying to achieve? What am I trying to do? And same thing with whatever you'd tell me. I'd have to listen to that and kind of apply it to my jump. That's another thing that I feel like has helped me at work in particular, where when I'm listening to someone, I'm actually listening to what they're saying, trying to figure out how it applies to what I'm doing, maybe even imagining like, what's it going to look like when I do it? How's it going to go? And these are all, this is all mental effort that needs to actually happen versus on autopilot. You just listen. You're like, okay, yeah.
Right. Well, and I would even add, like, you learn how to accept criticism better.
100%.
Right. 100%. So when someone is like, hey, like, you know, that last task you did, you missed X, Y, and Z, really needed that. You don't just get like, what? That's not my fault. You didn't tell me, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, you're like, okay, awesome. Let me look at how I could do that better next time.
Yeah.
You don't look at it as something to get offended about, which is super important. Super important. Yeah.
No, I seek it out. I seek out feedback and criticism. That is one of the, I think that's one of the pitfalls of something like law school, is you're not getting feedback all the time. You could go through an entire semester, maybe get feedback on a couple papers, but the real huge exams that your entire GPA is riding on, you don't really know how you've been doing throughout the semester. And so you need to actively seek out ways to get feedback from people. See, like, are you asking the right questions? Do you even know what questions to ask people? And I think when you're learning how to pole vault, you have no idea what to ask in the beginning. You don't even know where to begin. It's overwhelming. It's a complicated sport. And then over time, you start to learn how to ask questions and how to think critically about how you're moving your body.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think that kind of, I know I've talked to you guys about this. I think when you're dealing with someone who's first starting out in the vault, you are clearly coaching them and telling them what to do. Because like you said, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But at some point, if they're learning the skills, I think you become more of a consultant. You know, I'm the person standing at the side. You take a jump and you're consulting with me about what's going on. And I give you some advice, but you are the one driving the car.
Right.
You know, I'm just there to help any way I can, but I become a consultant. And I guess too, that kind of leads into my question for you guys. What do you think is the difference between, let's say, when you were jumping in high school and college here versus now jumping as an adult? Because I think for me, I really, like you said, I think pole vault could be a lot of people's preferred way of movement, you know? And I think it's a great way to stay in shape. I think pole vault is a great total body workout. And it also kind of is the carrot that leads you to do other workouts that will also be beneficial because you want to jump higher. What needs to change in someone's like mental approach as an adult pole vaulting with, you know, full-time jobs or law school or, you know, getting married, whatever, you know, what is the shift mentally that has to happen that makes it such a positive experience that you guys are describing? Because anybody listening to this at the beginning is like, why wouldn't you jump as an adult? But what's the mental shift that you feel like needs to happen where this is a positive part of your life instead of, let's say, being more stressful? Because there's definitely the flip side. And especially with people who jump higher, and I'll maybe go a little bit longer on that a little bit later. But like, especially for people who are jumping higher, it's like they just seem constantly stressed out by pole vaulting.
Right.
And then they just want to leave the sport. You know, what did you guys have to do mentally to make pole vault a bonus in your life? And make you keep coming in?
For me, I would definitely say it's focusing, it's setting the right goals. Where in college, my goals were jump this high, lift this much, grip this high, this big of a pole.
Right.
Versus now my goals are like, am I approaching takeoff the right way? Am I doing takeoff the right way? Is this the smoothest way I want to jump? Does this feel good?
Right.
So definitely the goals that I set, and probably the perspective. Like in college, I definitely was very aware that I only had 4 years of college season. And actually that got extended due to COVID.
Right.
So yeah. Pushing my last season out. Versus now, like the other day we were at that meet and the thought did cross my mind, like, even if this doesn't go well, I'm gonna be here next year, you know?
Right.
And that kind of that perspective allows you to kind of detach a little bit from it.
Yeah.
And you can think a little bit clearer. You can think about what meaningful goals you're trying to accomplish. Like, am I moving smoothly through the jump? Is my run good? Is my plank good? Is takeoff good? And those figuring those things out for me is what makes pole vault a plus instead of a stressor to my life, because I kind of just like solving the problem. I mm-hmm. like the puzzle. And that explains right. why I like my job, because
well,
my job
yes. is
yeah, a lot engineering of, brain.
Not exactly puzzles, but yeah, solving problems, trying to mm-hmm. apply things you know. So
yeah. Yeah, similarly, perspective is huge. I also think, you know, for me, loving pole vault now after college was kind of supplemented by COVID and the fact that I had hip surgery right before COVID. And so my last 2 years of college were spent healing from a hip surgery. And then I got, you know, two real seasons after that hip surgery to make it happen. And so I was on that, you know, clock of like, I have X amount of time to make it happen. I don't know how high I'm going to be able to jump after college. And so I was really, you know, glad to jump 12 feet. But now, you know, I learned in that to love the process, because there was a real part of me that was like, I might not jump 12 feet. That might never happen for me. And I need to wake up and be okay with that. So I need to start loving what I'm doing. And so I really made a shift from the external validation to making it an intrinsic pursuit for myself. Mm-hmm. I think that happens with, you know, age and time. You just realize that, you know, there are bigger things in life than your sport, and your sport can be your passion and one of your priorities, but you have family and you have friends that you love and you have people you need to take care of, and you show up for yourself in other ways. And so I really realized, you know, perspective of, you know, time and just, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for me. And it's an intrinsic pursuit where I would have never been okay with jumping 11 at a meet, you know, 6 years ago. Now I left that meet so happy. I had a great day. I watched Calvin jump. Bronco was there coaching me, which is a rare occurrence now. Like, it was a fantastic day. It was beautiful outside. Like, I'm just happy to be outside on a Saturday, you know? And I'd love to, you know, maybe one day jump 12 again, maybe even jump higher, but we could do that next year. We could do that the year after. Like, we are lucky that we can just keep doing this and showing up week to week. So,
yeah, I think that perspective is really different. Because going back to like what I was saying before, I think sometimes there are people that, I don't know how else to say this, but it's like, there's a group of people that are trying to go to the Olympics. They just happen to pole vault, right? And then there's people who pole vault.
Right.
Right. And it's like, if you're that person that's just trying to go to the Olympics, or even it could be a height, right? Like, oh, if I just jump, like, let's say you're a female, if I just jump 15, or if you're a guy, I just jump 18. It's like, and I'm not saying like, hey, if you have a goal and you're going after it, that's great. But you have to have that perspective of like, one, you can't ruin your whole day because you didn't jump the bar you want. Like you said, loved ones are not going to care. They're not going to care. Like, if you're going to act like a baby the rest of the day and not want to have dinner with everybody and not be like a normal person, if you can't detach, like you were saying, that's going to be a problem in your life.
It's nobody's, also a miserable way to live.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
not conducive to any goals that you might have.
And I've seen people at meets, you know, who are in that mind frame of like, I have to jump this. And man, they look so miserable at the meet. They can't talk to anybody. It's like, dude, you're pole vaulting. Like, I feel like, look, obviously I love the vault. I it's my life. You know, I this is my business. This is my livelihood, everything. I mean, at the wedding this summer, right? It's like, I had six tables of guests. Four of them were pole vault related. You know what I mean? So obviously this is a big part of my life. Some of the tightest people I'm with, are pole vault related. But that being said, it's like, pole vault is not that big a deal. Guys, like, we are not on SportsCenter. You know what I mean? There's no paparazzi. This is like, you're not going to become pole vault faint. Like, it's so weird.
It's a humbling sport.
Yeah. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with goals. I mean, I certainly like what I'm doing, my training, you know, for whatever it is, whether it's deadlift, runs, anything. Sure, I have certain goals and I'd like to meet them. And I might even literally in the moment, like in my brain, get a little pissed I didn't hit a certain number. But then like I detach, recalibrate, and go on with the rest of my day.
Yeah.
Like I can't like imagine I miss a lift and then like my 4:30 session comes in and I act like an asshole the whole session and mean to people. Like, that can't happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think that's something too, where when I think about football coaches, like, level of professionalism, right? Like, professionals get the job done no matter what. And I think whether that's at your job, with family members, loved ones, you have to be professional. Sometimes things are going to happen. And I know certainly me and you have like shared stories about things that we're dealing with personally, where it's like, sure, we might want to flip out on someone, but that's not the right answer. And that's not the professional right way to deal with it. And we have to come with it a different way. You know, if you really want to help someone or take care of somebody, you can't be like that. And I think that when people pull, like you said, with the perspective of like, they're just thinking of the outcome. Like, I have to jump this bar.
Yeah.
I guess, maybe. But then what? Right. And it's like, no bar is ever going to make you happy. Like, I don't care. Like, you jump 15, cool. You're going to want to jump 16.
Right.
You jump 16, you're going to want.
Right.
You're going to want to keep raising that bar. And that's never going to make you at peace.
No.
Right?
Yeah. You have to love the process. And I think it really has to be intrinsic. And that's something, though, that I think no high schooler, you know, is equipped to pursue something truly intrinsic and for themselves, because there's so much pressure, like, socially, yeah, academically, to go to college, to get the scholarship. I can understand why high school me was so emotional all the time about jumping,
right,
and was so hard on myself and was so ashamed when I wouldn't jump high. Because there was so much pressure from every angle to show up that way.
I certainly, you know, in your situation, I remember, because like, there were certain schools, you know, you were thinking about and you felt like, oh man, if I don't get into that school, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like your situation was different in high school. Did you feel that way?
No, not so much in high school. I would say in college, that was probably one of the biggest detriments to my jump, was the fact that I was so concerned with, not only I want to jump higher, but I want to jump higher before these 4 years are up.
Right.
Where when you're just focusing on that number, you don't really think as clearly, right? Like, I'd come to practice, I wouldn't be solving the problem. I wouldn't be thinking critically. I'd be thinking,
no,
this grip isn't high enough to jump 15. This grip
isn't
high enough to jump 16. I gotta be.
Well, and it's interesting too, right? Like, talk about dichotomies, right? It's like, okay, like, at some points in this podcast, we're talking about like squeezing out every inch, we're grinding, we're working hard. But then on the other end, it's like, okay, but like, at the end of the day, it's really just your own competition with yourself. You shouldn't really be comparing yourself, because I think so often people make unfair comparisons, right? Oh. They'll look at someone who's jumping higher and be like, well, why can't I jump as high as that person? Well, like, I don't know. What's your 100 meter time? You know, like, how fast can you run? How high can you jump?
Right.
Like, vertical leap test. You know, there's so many variables, and we sometimes make unfair comparisons. And I was talking to Julia at her meet, and I said to her, like, look, at the end of the day, forget about your PR. Like, we all like would like to PR. That's great. The reason you're doing this is because it's difficult. You should be pole vaulting because it's difficult,
right?
Because you're going to have to face difficulties your entire life with things that are way more important than the pole vault,
right?
Way more important. You get married, you have kids. Forget it. Like, you're going to have to deal with difficulties in those situations that also you can't really run away from.
No, yeah.
You know, and so you should be doing pole vault, and it should be hard. It should be difficult, because you're giving yourself like a little micro dose of that difficulty so you can handle the macro dose for the rest of your life. And I even think about sometimes, you know, people bring up with like the pole vault and high jump that like, oh, you always end on a failure. It's so hard. Good.
Right.
Good. That's why you should do it. It's good. No matter how good your day is, unless like you broke the world record and decide to stop or some weird situation like that, you know, even on PR days, you end in a failure. And every day we fail. I tell people that all the time. Like, when I'm coaching, because I know sometimes, you know, I am very grateful. There are a lot of athletes and parents even that think the world of me. But I remind them all the time, I'm like, I make mistakes every single day. I pick a drill progression and it didn't work for that kid. Yeah. I tell someone to grip up and then they get hit, you know, got to grip back down. Like, you have to be willing to try things and make decisions and deal with that failure. I think that's one of the best things about the vault. And especially like as adults, like, you know, you kind of get reminded. You end that meet with a, you know, a fail and you're like, all right. And, you know, tomorrow I still got to show up. Yeah. Like, life doesn't stop.
Yeah. Well, and thinking about, you know, being PR focused versus being like process focused, I think that even goes to your coaching. Like, I think if you're PR focused all the time and you're not process focused, you're not focusing, you're not working on the foundational things that you need to keep fleshing out all the time to even think about a PR. Mm-hmm. You're always thinking about the PR, then we're not doing the things we need to do to even get there. The same thing with coaching. Like you said, you might have an athlete where that drill progression doesn't work. You're back to the foundation. If you're always thinking about the outcome for the athlete, we're not thinking about the foundational, like what are the building blocks that we need to be looking at all the time? And I think that's just another thing that could be applied anywhere. Like, yeah, I want to be a kick-ass lawyer someday, but I have so much foundational work to do. Like there's the 10,000 hours for lawyers, you know? I have so much work to put in to get to where I want to be. But if I'm always focused on that really, you know, far away, if I'm focused on when those 10,000 hours are up, I'm never going to be working on the foundational.
You would just give up.
Right.
You would just give up.
It's too overwhelming. Right.
I guess another thing too, like again, training in the vault as adults, right? And I do want to talk about physical fitness in general, but before I even go there, how do you deal when you're tired and life's busy? And like you always tell people when you were in college, your fiance.
Oh yeah. She put up with a lot. That's
yeah. For sure. Cause you would never miss practice.
I would not miss practice. Not for holidays, birthdays to go. I think one time I did. No, I don't even think I missed it for that. To go like get dinner with the grandpa or something. I refused to miss practice.
Right.
Because I was so focused on like, no, I can't miss a day.
Right.
I miss a day, I'm getting worse.
Right. Because I think you can be so zoned in and like locked in that you have this very rigid thing of like, no, I can't miss a practice. I can't miss a rep. I can't, you know, I always remember it's like we would both do it. The protein shaker, you open it, you lick the top. Cause I don't want to miss out on any protein,
no,
dude.
This
I measured it. I have to get every little bit of protein out of this.
My PR is in that little bit.
Right. Yeah, that little bit extra, right? And so it's like that. And listen, I certainly think there is something to be said about going that hard and what you learn during that process of like trying to squeeze everything out. How does that change as an adult? Are you still that way? Like, do you tell Gina, like, hey, we can't have the wedding on a practice night. That's not going to work.
We are. I'm missing practice for my wedding. Look how far I've come.
He's so soft. I don't know what to do with this guy.
To miss practice.
Oh, yeah. No, she would. This wouldn't work if I was still like that.
Yeah.
I don't think she would. She shouldn't. She shouldn't stay
well,
with me.
I guess even like what I want to say is like, how do you like, cause I feel like in college when you were in that mindset, I don't forget about even like Gina for a second, not that you should forget about her, but, I don't think you could forgive yourself if you missed something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So how did you make that pivot? Like, cause now, right. Like, I'm assuming you don't throw a fit when you miss practice. Right. You're not like, Gina, I can't believe I'm not.
Not out loud. No, actually, I think the moment that shift happened, or not really moment, but it was during COVID. We closed down for
quite a while during
COVID, and I didn't jump for like however many months. But I found myself after work, I'd just be sitting there doing nothing for so long that I ended up going into the woods and building that fort.
Right. Yeah.
But
you found something.
I found.
But I'm saying, like, I feel like now you can forgive yourself. Like, you're not as hard on yourself.
Yeah.
If you miss a workout or you miss a practice. How did that happen?
It was definitely during that break. During that break when I realized that like I could, this is what my life is like without pole vault. And this is, I guess it's, I can tell that pole vault is an improvement on my life now that I've been without it. Mm. And I can also tell that I'm not gonna die without it, you know?
You're not gonna die.
Yeah, my life is still good. There are
They say what, you can go 2 months without food?
Right.
What is it? How long without oxygen? What is it without pole vault? That's like,
yeah. Well, it weeks. It's longer. No, it was a few months. I made it a while. I'm surprised. But yeah, and that's kind of where I was trying to go with that example about the Ford. Is I found something. I found something to go do. Yeah. I can get that fulfillment from places that aren't pole vault. You know.
Yeah. Right. Right. You can. And for you, Lily, like, how did that change for you?
Shift
from going hard to like now being able to do I don't want to say pole vault light, but at a different level. Yeah.
I mean, right now it's really about feasibility for me. If I can get in 2 practices a week and then a couple lift sessions, I'm like, huge win. You know, in the past, I would need to be going so hard lifting, you know, the standards, it's amazing what we did. It's not feasible for me anymore, at least at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it's also like, again, you go back to your purpose. Why am I here and what am I doing this for? Am I getting the stress relief that I need? Am I able to wake up the next day and be better? I told Bronco the other day, I notice when I do a tough squat workout, sometimes I wake up with like cold symptoms the next day because my body, I'm tired. Sometimes I struggle to get enough calories in a day. Like there's a lot going on. So I need to be ready for that the next day if I'm going to do a workout like that. So at this point, it's about what's going to support me in my day to day. But again, I mean, I'm still hard on myself. I have a hard time if I miss a practice. I still have that little bit of guilt. Like, I think when you really have pushed yourself so hard and you know what it's like to be at that peak training, it is really, really hard to adjust to, you know, prioritizing other things. Sometimes for like a networking event that's objectively important for me to do for my career, to be meeting other attorneys in the field. And I'm like, I just want to be pole vaulting because it helps me sleep at night, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think even for me, you know, at my level, because like I'll demonstrate stuff, I'll jump a little bit, but like, it's like, for me, it's like my workouts. And the thing that I've had to learn, and Calvin is way better at this than I am, but it's like, okay, if something hurts, I can grind through this workout, but I'm not going to be able to do this for a long time.
Right.
I think I learned that by watching you. I saw like, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try this a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you have to be able to make adjustments and do the best that you can. Cause like, you know, the way I look at my workouts and my training is like, well, I'm doing this so that I can be the best version of myself for everyone else, whether that's a pole vaulter, a client, my wife, other family members. I mean, I was telling you guys, my nephew stopped by yesterday and they did a workout with me. We're working out and they saw me working hard, you know, and I think especially the older nephew was kind of taken aback. He was like, shit, man, he's going. And I said to them and said, hey, you know, guys, like, I do this so I could, you know, take care of everybody. If you guys need something, need me to beat someone up, I got you. And like, there was a look on their faces like, I think he's serious, you know, like, but it's, you know, for me, it's that level where it's like, yeah, I can forgive myself. Like, if I can't get something in, you know, well, if it's because I have to go to a meet or I have to take care of something for a family member or whatever, I can make modifications. You know, you have to make it fit within your life. Cause certainly there's a, like, as you're alluding to, there's a part of me where I'm like, man, I could be doing way more workouts, you know, like I could, you know, but look, if I deadlift, you know, even 100 more pounds, that doesn't make me a better coach, you know? So there is that perspective where I gauge it like that. Not that I'm not working hard, but like certainly everybody can always work harder, you know? Right. So I think there's that kind of shift that has to happen. And I think for people, let's say, who are listening to this, who used to vault and they would love to get back into it, I think the thing you have to remember, it's like, you just want to get back into it. You don't have to hit your PR. You don't have to be gripping as high as you were back when whatever was happening. It's like, you just have to get back into it. And to kind of finish off, like talking about fitness, you know, it's funny, you know, just tonight, a vaulter that used to jump here when she was younger, she came in and she walked in and, you know, listen, I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything, but she walked in, she's like, oh my goodness, you look younger, you know? And I'm like, ah, come on, you know? But, so obviously I let her do a 7 on the first day back, but no, I'm just kidding.
She just knew what to say.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that I was explaining to her is like, again, for you to be at your best, whether it's for your job, your career, your family, loved ones, you need to take care of your body.
Yeah.
You know, and podcasts that I've been listening to lately, there's this guy, Ken Rideout. He is one of the fastest guys over 50 years old in the marathon. He runs the marathon in under 2.5 hours. He runs like a 5:30 split. It's like ridiculous. This guy also is involved in the finance world, like stocks. He has a family. I think they have 3 or 4 kids, right? But this guy's going out running 10 miles every day, yeah, like minimum, you know? And one of the things that he said in one of the podcasts, I thought it was so good. He's like, you have one body. He goes, if you can't take care of your physical and mental health, what good are you to anybody else? And I think, again, pole vault is one of those things where, okay, you don't have to necessarily jump a PR, but it is a great way to keep yourself in shape, motivated. And for anybody out there that's a pole vault coach and has a pole vaulting club, if you can create the right culture and community, I mean, you're always going to have the high school kids there, but you can grow your adult clients and help them for their whole life. To me, I mean, like, I don't know, one of the things that always, like, even starting out pole vault, I just wanted to help people more than I got help when I pole vault, yeah, you know? And what better way to help people? I mean, listen, winning counties is great. Winning states is great. But man, I always tell people now, I'm like, if 10, 20 years down the line, you're still talking about counties and you don't have bigger and better things going on in your life, come on, something's wrong. You know, where if you're pole vaulting still as an adult and you're training and you're working out, staying in shape, mentally, you're going to be mentally sharper. And again, as a pole vault coach, if you can provide that life mentorship,
yeah,
it's such a huge plus for people. I also think personally, like, being the best version of myself for you guys helps me personally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better. I can handle more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think first point, like, you have to have your non-negotiables in your life. I think people have a really hard time understanding how do you fit it in? Or especially, I mean, I, you know, can't relate to having a, you know, a partner or a family yet, but I think it's hard for parents especially to envision themselves as taking time out of the day for themselves. But I think if you have a non-negotiable every day where you're taking care of yourself and you're taking care of your body, you are going to show up better for everybody in your life. Yeah. And I think speaking to the environment, like, I know for a fact that the adult presence at Apex is growing and it's amazing. And it's, you know, I think adults forget to do things that they like and that keep the things that keep them motivated and keep them
and keep them youthful.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, again, like, you know, Michelle coming in tonight and looking at me and be like, oh my gosh, you look younger. Mm-hmm. It's like, one, I always think from my perspective, like, again, like, the reason I work out, I train hard. I try to do, like, you as a coach or a leader.
Yeah.
You have to lead by example. And I'm trying to show everybody else, like, this is possible. You can do this.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to just get old and fat. You know, everybody think, like, it's amazing to me listening to someone who, like, turns 30 sometimes, like, ah, dude, I'm just getting so old. I'm like, bro, I'm 43. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, you can let yourself go if you want, but you don't have to. You don't have to. You can still have that youthful energy, work hard, push, and life is more enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about, like, at your ages, but you know, unfortunately, maybe at your ages, you see some people that you went to high school with or went to college with, and you're like, wow, their level of enjoyment has kind of gone down because they're not physically capable of what they used to be able to do. You know, it's like if all you can do is sit on the couch and munch on some food, it's like, I mean, listen, I like food, don't get me wrong, but like, I want to be able to do more in life than that.
What I notice more than just that, though, is that people are trying to like fit themselves into a box that they don't necessarily fit into. Like, I think that not everybody is going to fit into the demographic of people who are gym rats who want to just go and lift at the gym. Like, no, right. Maybe you need to go join some rec sports. Maybe you need to find a club like this. There are clubs for so many different sports. I think really turning inwards and thinking about what is it that I like to do? It sounds silly, but I really like, I prefer to pole vault over other right. like forms of movement. It's just true. I would rather pole vault than do other things. So I'm going to keep doing what I like. I could force myself to just go to the gym every day, but I would be bored and I wouldn't have my community. And so right. I think, you know, it is so key to really turn inwards and think about what it is that you like, what your priorities are, and how you can put that into action.
I mean, yeah, my fiance Gina recently started playing volleyball too.
Right.
So that for her has been her kind of
outlet.
And yeah, I was about to say escape, which it might be, it very well could be, but that has been a really great outlet for her. I mean, mm-hmm. we've also done stuff like for the wedding, we're doing a choreographed dance.
You have
that to look forward to when you're there. But before that, we took dance classes, just, you know,
right.
fun to dance together. And even just doing stuff like that, you know?
Right.
It's an excellent outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in closing, look, first of all, thank you guys. I know it's late and I'm keeping you guys up. But thank you for doing the podcast. I just, you know, would tell anybody out there who is interested in vaulting as an adult, it's a great, great way to stay in shape. It's a great way to be a part of a community and culture. You could also help out, you know, wherever your local club is and help mentor some of the young kids. I mean, I know you guys and everybody else who's here, you guys really help the high school kids out. You give them that perspective, you know, of what's possible, how to approach things, how to deal with a no height, whatever the case may be. And for any coaches that are listening to this, I mean, look, you want your club to grow. You really want to change people's lives. Cause at the end of the day, again, like I don't know how many of you guys out there are going to coach an Olympian or world record holder. I mean, it's probably few and far between. but if you really want to change lives and help people, I think welcoming adults and providing a community and culture for them is so important. And it's going to make you a better coach. You will have more impact on the high school kids. Cause I think I see it with the high school kids all the time. When they talk about other coaches they have in their lives who, let's say, they don't lead by example. They're not in shape. They don't work out. They're maybe crybabies when the meet doesn't go well, you know, stuff like that. They don't have as much respect for those coaches. You know, so if you could be the best version of yourself and foster this kind of environment, you can have adults jumping in your club and just grow your club, make it bigger and help more people. I don't see any downside, you know, so that's just my viewpoint on that.
I would definitely attest to that. Pole vault has definitely changed my life and continues to change my life for the better.
I agree.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. I think if it's done right, it's just such a huge plus in someone's life. I think as coaches, you just got to take it to the next level, though.
Yeah.
You got to lead by example. You got to take it to the next level. And I always, you know, I was on the phone with Brad, who coaches at Long Island, and we were talking about, you know, coaching and growing his club and stuff. And I asked him this question. I was like, you know, Brad, does David Goggins live in Long Island? You know, because his club is out in Long Island. He's like, no. I go, oh. I go, Jocko Willink, does he live in Long Island? No. What about The Rock? Does he live in Long Island? I'm like, you could be the David Goggins, Jocko Willink, Rock of Long Island, you know? And I think as coaches, you have to be that person. Like, in a local area, look, sure, we on social media have access to some of these great people who are inspirational, motivational. you should be that for your members.
Yeah.
You know, for your club members, you have to be that motivational person. So again, thank you guys. In closing, this is episode 122. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with a friend. Subscribe. You can watch it on YouTube or Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for everybody who listened.
Luke.